This week, I tell you, this week God just put something in my heart this week to share with you this morning. And you know, we're all on this journey, and it's an awesome journey. It really is an awesome journey. And not all of us are in the same place in this journey, but we're all on the same journey. You know, whenever we get saved, you know, God just opens up our minds. He opens up our hearts, and we start seeing things in our life. And, you know, in our walk, our journey to spiritual formation, and, you know, because, you know, there's four parts to this spiritual, and there's more parts than that, but I've got four parts this morning, and probably we'll only get through two parts. And maybe I'll just continue and do that. I'm not a sermon series preacher usually, but God has just put this on my heart, and I don't think we'll get through it all today, this morning. So, but the four areas that I want to talk about are the first awakening, and then the purgation, and the illumination, and union. These four things that we process as to spiritual formation. And, you know, when we think about the awakening, you know, I remember very clearly, very vividly without, you know, I can remember when I got saved. I can remember the day that I, you know, and I was raised in church. I was raised in church. I knew all about church. I knew what it was like. I knew what it was, you know. And like I said, I made jokes about this. I was a drug addict for 20 plus years. I was on drugs. I took them, man, every week, you know, because my dad and mom drug me to church on Sunday, drug me to church on Sunday night, drug me to church on Wednesday, and I'm a product of drugs, man. I'm telling you. Seriously. But, you know, God said, you know, me and Mark joke, you know, and I said, you know, God put something in my heart, man, and I get excited, and I'm like, you know, God said, you go and rock the flock this morning. I'm going to use it, Mark. No, I can't do that, but God can. You know, I can't do that, but God can. Hear me this morning. And I remember, I'm going to go back to this awakening. The first process of this spiritual formation is awakening. And I remember the day that I got saved, and I can come right down here and I can remember. I mean, I still got claw prints here, maybe in the altar here, because I remember sitting back there and all of a sudden I feel the Holy Spirit drawing me, saying and starting to reveal things to me, starting to wake me up. And then I started to realize who God really was. And that's that awakening, that spiritual awakening. When we get saved, you know, our eyes are open, and all of a sudden we realize this God that we thought existed now really is real. And we realize, and he starts revealing the sin in our lives. He starts revealing, and he says, guess what? All that sin that you committed, it's gone.
It's gone.
Amen.
Amen.
And you realize that, and you're like, oh man, what have I been missing? And then you just start realizing, you come alive, you come awake. And I remember right after I got saved, man, I wanted all I could get. I wanted all I could get. I wanted all the church that I could get. I wanted to be there every time the doors were open. I wanted to go. I wanted to hear. I would go to other churches to listen to evangelists speak. I would drive, you know, I wanted all I could get of it. Man, God just opened my eyes up. I wanted more. That's what he does. You know, and sometimes it's not only that spiritual awakening at salvation time, but it's also sometimes we are in the church and we were saved, and sometimes we go back to that. Sometimes we have a spiritual awakening to like, okay, I moved into the next place. You see what I'm saying? I moved into illumination or union, and we'll get into that later. But, you know, when we think about characters in the Bible, we can look at the book of Acts in chapter 9. And Acts chapter 9, where Paul, We know this story. Paul's on the road to Damascus in chapter 9, verse 1. He says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues to Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' he replied. 'Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" See, Paul, now, he gets this enlightening. He gets this awakening, right? His eyes are open for once. You know, of course, he's blinded there, and he goes to see Ananias, and then Ananias prays for him. He's with him a few days, and then his eyes are open, right? But see, now his life has changed. He wakes up. His spirit wakes up. And then we can look at Moses in the book of Exodus, chapter 3. And we think about Moses. Here Moses was raised by the Egyptians, you know, as a little baby. He was put in the water, floated downstream, and they found him. And he was raised with the Egyptians, you know. So he didn't really, and then all of a sudden, he kills somebody and runs off through the wilderness, you know. And then 40 years later, all of a sudden he sees this burning bush. And then God speaks to him. Think about that. He had his awakening moment. How many here this morning's had your awakening moment in your life?
Amen.
You know, and sometimes we think, it may not be the burning bush moment. It may not be that you got knocked off your horse. But spiritually, you came alive. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes it's that spiritual awakening that we're like, wow, what just happened to me? I realize, you know, I'm serious now. My life's never been the same. Ever. Ever been the same. And this journey that I'm on, it's not been a journey of perfection, because we're not perfect people. We realize that. But for whatever reason, God, from before the foundations of the earth, He predestined, He predetermined that He would go ahead and create, because He saw into man. He knew what man was going to do. He knew what we were going to do. He knew that we were messed up people from the beginning. He knew everything about me. He knew what I was going to do. But for whatever reason, God said, "I'm going to go ahead and let this happen. And I'm going to create the world. I'm going to create man. And I'm going to put it into motion." Praise God.
Amen.
So we have this encounter with God. We have this spiritual awakening. We have this encounter with... And then we have also this encounter with self, too, along with that awakening. Because then when we have an encounter with God and we realize what He has done for us, wow. Then we start realizing how horrible we've been. We have this encounter with ourselves, and then we have to start dealing with that. And when we come to that understanding, it moves into the next process of this, and that's purgation. And purgation is a purifying time. It's a time of purification. It's a time of the act of purging. Doesn't sound very pleasant, does it? It's a vigorous evacuation. How's that? Doesn't sound pleasant, does it? But usually, purgation is not a pleasant time. You know, there's things in my life, I'll say this, there's things in my life that I enjoy doing, hobbies and things. And I like to do a lot of things. And one of the things that I enjoy doing is I like to shoot, I like to hunt, I like to fish. I love my 9mm, you know, I love that You know, I love to go out and shoot. I love my, you know, to get out and shoot the 308. And when I was in the military, you know, that's where I kind of, you know, I grew up around hunting and fishing. So that was part of my life, you know. But, and then when I was in the military, I got familiar with all the military weapons and stuff. And I was in the scout platoon. And so part of that was we trained with different weapons. We had to be good at, you know, knowing these weapons. And so I got this desire. I love them. I mean, I just really love to mess with them. I love to build them. Yeah, Leonard's down here to you. I know what you mean, brother. But, you know, and when I was in the military, I went to shooting school. I loved to shoot, you know. And I will say, you know, I'm kind of proud of it. I will say this. But, you know, in my 4 years that I was in, I was actually the only person in my platoon to shoot a perfect 40 for 40 score 3 years in a row. But I loved doing it. It was a passion of mine, you know, and it still becomes a passion of mine. My wife will tell you, 3 years ago we moved. And when we moved, I had to drag stuff out from the corners and under the beds that she didn't have a clue I had. And she's like, where? I'm like, I don't know.
Been there.
So I made a decision. Here's my point. I go through all this about me, because it's not about me. It's about what I had to do, what needed to be done, and what I'm still doing in my life every day. You know, there's things like the guns I got rid of so much. I got rid of it because it was entangling my life. Okay? And if we look in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12 deals with this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Man, you think about that. Those things that entangle you. Those things that hinder you. See, it's not that messing with guns and or messing with other hobbies, fishing and different things like that. That's not necessarily sinful things in your life, but it can become sin. And it can also hinder your walk with Christ, moving you to the next level of spiritual growth. And that's what so many of us do. We get so tied up and so bound down by all these things on this earth that it hinders us from reaching the position or the place in spiritual growth that God wants, where He wants us to be. Man, He wants us to be fully united with Him. That's where He wants us to be. But we get so caught up sometimes, and it's sometimes just little things, and little things add up, just like those guns it's talking about. Over 20 years worth of little things adds up to a lot of stuff. Yeah. And then I go to purging. Purgation. And it wasn't easy, because it's like, oh, I like that one. Oh, I don't want to get rid of that. Oh, I need that one. You know, come on now. But, you know, purgation, that vigorous, man, it was vigorous. It wasn't easy. Some of my favorite things I had to get rid of. But you know, there's other things in our life. There's sometimes even friendships. There's sometimes even friendships that we have to, it's not that we abandon people. We can still pray with them and be, You know, but sometimes we have to abandon those relationships that we have with certain people. We have to purge that because it's hindering our relationship with Christ. That's tough. That's really tough. That's probably the toughest one. I mean, there's so many things that we can get caught up in. There's so many things. Why? What's the Bible say about that? Let's look at Matthew. Some scripture that came to my mind. Matthew was one of them. And Jesus is talking, you know, he's the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5. He talks about murder, and he talks about divorce, and he talks about giving to the needy and the eye for an eye. And then he talks about this one stuck right out here in the middle called adultery. And in verse 27 of chapter 5, he says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." Man, that's pretty strong words, isn't it? What's he talking about? Physically cutting your hand off? Gouging your eyes out? Man, that's pretty crazy, isn't it? Or is it on a spiritual sense that he's talking about? Sometimes spirit, we got to get rid of those things that hinder us from having the relationship with Jesus Christ that he wants us to have. That's what he's talking about. It'd be better for you to do without that stuff because it hinders you on your spiritual walk with me. You think about that. That's tough, isn't it? You know, my hope is to encourage, not to condemn. My messages are never condemn. I don't want people to think that I am here to condemn people because I'm on this spiritual journey with you. I have things in my life every day that come about, that go on. There's things that I've had to do. And this is part of it. This walk, this journey of spiritual formation, we have to purge ourselves at times from things that hinder us. And sometimes it's tough to the point to where or gouging our eyes out if it causes us to sin, because I would rather go to heaven blind than not go to heaven at all.
Amen.
Amen. I'd rather go to heaven than not go to heaven because I wanted to carry my 308 in my hand. I wasn't willing to let go of it, because it kept me away from doing what God wanted me to do. I could spend every Saturday and every Sunday in a tree stand. I could do that. There's nothing wrong with hunting. There's nothing wrong with it. It's quite enjoyable. But if it becomes a hindrance or a struggle for you, then sometimes we have to do what's necessary. Where I'm at. Hebrews chapter 10. Paul addresses some stuff right here that's pretty tough. I know this is tough this morning. God put it on my heart. He's like, man, sometimes I read this, I'm like, they're going to run me out the door. Really? People are not, you know, they're going to get aggravated at me for preaching this, but I was like, Lord, this is your word. It says it right here. I have to preach what it says. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." That's what I want to do. Jesus said, I didn't come here to condemn the world. I came here, right? Bring salvation. I came here to bring sight to the blind. I came here to bring spiritual awakening, okay? I came here to save so that everybody could make it to heaven. That's what I came here for. Amen?
Amen.
And then he left us here and he said, you go do what I did. You go do what I did. So my job here is to encourage you. My job here is to inspire you, encourage you to go on, to spur you on. And that's your job too. That's your job too, to encourage each other in love and in good deeds. I love my friends. You guys, I mean, I don't deserve anything. But because you guys love Christ, you love me, and because then you show your love. We show our love to each other because of that. So I want to encourage you. And he goes on in verse 25, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Man, I want to tell you, this world that we live in today, that day's approaching. What day is that? You know, I'm 51 years old. My half of my life's already over. If I live to be 100, I guess that's okay. God wanted me to, but I'm just saying that half my life is over. My day is approaching soon. Think about that. My day is approaching soon when I won't have any more decisions to make. My day is approaching soon when I can't witness to the people I need to witness to. I won't be able to pray for the ones that need to be prayed for. I won't be able to do the things that Christ wants me to do because my time will be over. And then I'll have to stand in front of my Maker. And then He'll judge me for the things that I did. He gets real tough here in verse 26. He says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we receive the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Wow. Man. Not a lot of people want to hear about that kind of stuff. We want to hear about grace and we want to hear about that. And grace is, and Paul gets into that later if you really understand what he's saying. Thank God for grace.
Amen.
But what he's saying is once you've been enlightened, once you've received the knowledge of the truth, once you know better, don't go on doing that same old garbage that you were doing before. I died for you on a cross. Can you give up just a little bit for me? You haven't shed your blood for me. Can't you just give up just a little bit of things here on earth for me? Really? That's tough. But when I think about that, I'm like, you know what? You're right. Well, of course, God is always right. I whine and cry about a few things that I have. I haven't shed my blood for Him. So if I have to give up a few things here on earth, so be it. Because I have faith. Paul goes on to talk about faith later on in this chapter. And it's that faith that I have, that love that I have for Christ when I was awakened spiritually and I now understand who God really is. I want to live for Him every day because I want to move on to that next level in my life. And as we move forward, see, the ones that are, you know, maybe in the illumination area or in the union area, they're the ones that encourage the ones that are still just coming on. Man, that's what makes this thing so beautiful. It worked so well. You guys may have done this before. I don't know. Maybe some of you have. But this morning, I brought this wooden cross up here. And if you just really think about what that cross stands for, and what I've been preaching about this morning, is about getting rid of stuff in our lives. It's not necessarily physical things. It's not necessarily material things. It could be for you. It could be something spiritually. It could be some kind of sin that is entangling you, that it's an issue for you, a stronghold in your life. And this morning, I just wanted to take a few minutes. There's paper right in front of you and pencils. I've got extra paper up here. And what I wanted to do is just take and write down things in your life on that paper. Just write down things in your life that you would like to just have Jesus take completely. Get rid of it this morning. And I want you to bring it up here, and we're going to nail it to this cross. And we're going to give it to Him this morning.